Welcome to the Photo Booth International Podcast, live from Dallas, Texas. Find us online at photobooth.international.com.
Here with Photo Booth International Podcast. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Brian Delgado. Thank you for coming on today, Brian. So Brian and I are going to be talking a little bit about COVID and how it's affected his photo booth rental business. He also has a flower wall business that we're going to talk about as well. But Brian's actually a special guy. He actually purchased a photo booth from us, so it's been cool to see him work out there with our photo booth, helping people make new memories. So Brian, thank you again for coming on. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey Jasmine, well, thank you for having me on in this busy week that we have. I'm the owner of the Social Production and DFW Flower Wall. So we do all the rentals in Dallas and Fort Worth, and we are expanding in other areas. And thanks to you guys, I mean, you have provided several of the booths that we currently use. So thanks to Josh and your team that have been serving us for a long time as well. So thank you on that part. Like mentioned, we own the Social Production and DFW Flower Wall, and we're a rental company. So any event, whether it's corporate, birthdays, weddings, small gatherings, events, they typically call us because we feel like we're the number one in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So we definitely are always there to provide some entertainment for everybody who wants that for their event.
Yeah, no, definitely. So we actually have mutual friends. Like before you purchased from us, we have mutual friends. And so, you know, social media, you end up knowing about someone before you even meet them. So I remember I would see like people reshare really nice photo booth setups. And I'm like, man, these are nice. And then come find out you ended up buying from us. And then it just turns out as Brian and I got to talking, we realized, oh, well, we have mutual friends, and it's been pretty cool. So yeah, Brian has some of the really nicest setups. Like the way you present your photo booth is really nice. It's like really high end. It gives it a high end value. Know,
it's a little bit, it's kind of how you present it, because I think in the photo booth industry, we all have maybe the same booths, but in the end, it's kind of the backdrop that you're providing. It's kind of how you set up your table. It's what props you're bringing. It's how, you know, the design of the template. So all that, we try to make it as a premium for clients to say, okay, I'd rather want this type of style and pay $150 extra versus, you know, just three backdrops, just a regular template with a design or logo, and a few props from Walmart. So definitely. We definitely try to scale everything to a premium level. In saying we're not unique or we're special, because I think that it really depends on the value that you bring to the client.
Definitely. It's like a perceived value, right? Like it depends how you pitch it. You have to be, I think, a good salesperson to be able to sell something the exact same booth, like you said, but at a higher premium. Yeah. And it's all about how you phrase things, and people interpret things differently. And I think also just like your confidence really shines through whenever you're on the phone with someone, because they can tell whether you're confident about your service or not, you know? So you can either sound really enthusiastic and you're like, yeah, I can't wait. Like, yeah, we have masquerade theme props, no worries. Yeah, we've done that before. And opposed to, yeah, no problem, you know? So I think that's one of the key factors, is learning how to sell your service.
Something that really gives, I think, just peace of mind to also your client is when you tell them, I've been there before. Well, have you been at the Ritz, or have you been at the Omni, or have you worked at, you know, Wooden Creek? And you just say, yes, I have worked there, because even though you don't remember, most likely you've been there. So on that call, you want to make sure like to say, yeah, I've been there. You know, we have serviced that, even though sometimes, or even though you may not, you could just be transparent. It sounds familiar. It feels like I know the area. So I'm sure we've worked there before.
Exactly.
Awesome. It just makes them feel like, oh, he knows the ballroom. He knows the entrance. He knows what he
Yeah. Does. Yeah. They feel a bit more comfortable and confident that you're going to handle their event the way that they want. Yeah, definitely. How long ago did you start the social production?
The social production, I started it in December of 2016.
So it's okay.
4 years.
Yeah.
4 years.
You've grown a lot in 4 years.
Yeah. I feel like the second year is when I started to say, you know what, I need to get rid of my corporate job. And that's when I went into it full time. And then third year, fourth year, grew into it, you know, as a full time company.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I see you everywhere now. When did you decide to add on the flower walls?
I think it was within the second year that clients continue to ask me, like, do you have this style? Do you have walls? Something completely different that we wanted that nobody was doing at that time. Everybody, I seen the walls and had an idea, but really just, I knew they were expensive as well to purchase and make. And I was like, I'm not at that stage yet. So I'd rather rent them from a company and then just do it as an add-on. Because sometimes you may not have that cash flow, but you want to still have that service. So why not get it or partner with someone who does have it? And if you're bringing that continuous service to your client and to them, then they're able to give you a better price because they know that you're installing, you're setting up, picking up, and bringing it back to their office. So that's when I realized, I was like, you know what? For the meantime, I'll rent them to you, but eventually I want to do my own. So I was being very transparent with the company that I was with. So they had no issues. And, you know, when you think about competition, I mean, Dallas, Fort Worth is massive, you know, and when you try to say, well, I have so many people now that rent for me and they're my competition, but I don't even see it as that because I just say, well, I'm not renting it today. Why not pick up an extra $300-$400?
Without lifting a finger.
without lifting. They just come into my office. I let them know, hey, it's right there. They put it in their van, their car, and they go off to the van. So there is that factor of in the end, there's your own competition, I think, to be the best of whatever you're providing, whatever product, whatever service, whatever industry you're in. So then after, answer your question, after maybe 6 months, we ended up purchasing 3 walls. And after those 3 walls, we just scaled from there.
Nice, nice. I know that what you just said is super important, the notion of partnering and not seeing it like, well, no, I'm not going to help them because they're my competition. I think that that's what a good business owner does. That's what a good entrepreneur does, is they see the opportunity rather than the, you know, negative part. And I mean, you never know when you might need something from them along the line, right? And you're helping each other out. And like you said, there's plenty of business to go around. So I think some people tend to focus on the negative and go as far as, you know, to try to sabotage other companies that are here local. But I don't think that's needed. I think everyone can win. And there's still plenty of events happening. But with that being said, tell me a little bit about how, you know, coronavirus has affected your business. I mean, it's affected all of us, obviously, but I'm interested to hear, like, how many leads were you getting or how many bookings you were getting early March or when you were at your prime and compared to the lowest point and then kind of where you are now?
Now, well, to say that, I mean, it has affected us as an understanding because we know that it's drastic, especially in the rental industry. There's really all the parties now that I've been picking up, like maybe the calls that I get now, maybe 3 out of 4 are saying they're doing it at their house.
Okay. So
that's when you're just, that's when you know they still have a budget. They still have, you know, they still want to throw a party. They still want to have fun. They still want to celebrate whatever. It's a graduation, a wedding, an engagement. And I'm getting a lot of calls for an engagement. So a lot of people are getting engaged.
There you go.
So it's nice to see that love still exists. So that's not dead. Love's not dead. So it's nice to see that.
Not at all.
We've done several proposals too. We did our first proposal not too long ago, about 2 months ago. And it said, "Will you marry me?" And it was nice. We left it. We left a flower while there and they took pictures. And so we are doing new things that we haven't done before. So I had to invest on a sign that said, "Will you marry me?" The wall we already had. So there is things that we weren't doing before. We're now renting the neon signs, which is almost a branch of the flower wall, because they always want a neon sign with their wall.
Typically. Yeah, it looks really nice, by the way.
typically, it complements very well together. And that's when you have to figure out what's working for you. And if it's working, then how can you add more to that, what you already have? And when I mean add, it's either inventory or managing different aspects of the business that need to be updated or upgraded, or a website if you didn't have something. So when you see that the revenue or the cash flow coming in from a certain product or service that you have, you just want to make sure at this point that you want to amplify it as much as you can. Recently, we purchased 2 walls and made them, started assembling everything in-house. And then after that, they continued asking us for different ones. And typically, we make an investment on something, we want to make sure that it's out the door every weekend. If not, there's no point of us, you know, getting something crazy with crazy colors and that wall just sitting there. So we typically try to always have something that is very repetitive in the industry, and those colors could kind of go out the door. And it's really something in which we see a big return.
Nice. And I think you went about it very smart, because you talk about how first you kind of tested the waters to see, okay, I don't have the budget to go ahead and buy 3 flower walls right off the bat. So let me partner with this person or this company. And then I can start to get the word out that this is a product that I'm offering, and then test the waters and then take it from there. So I think that's really wise of you, instead of like going all in. And sometimes it's nice to do that depending on the situation, right? I think there's a time and place for that. But yeah, the way that you kind of handled that was very smart. And as far as the majority of these events that you're doing today, I know you said most of them are engagements. So how many would you say, like, what would the ratio be that just do flower wall and then that do both photo booth and flower wall?
So I know I missed, I think I didn't answer your full question also before. I apologize. So before we were getting about, I would say 4 to 6 leads a day with photo booths. So I would say, let's just say 25 leads a week. Now we get about 2 leads a week, max 4. And you're still trying to close those 4. And it's either for next year or like October, November, December. And typically next year. Majority of the events now that we're getting leads are for next year. And everything that we had this year is moved, it has already transitioned till the fourth quarter.
Okay. So
we haven't lost a lot, but there has been a lot of cancellations. Now we've seen a drastic change from photo booths being our bread and butter to flower walls now being the main thing that people want to have, because like you said, some people still want to celebrate, some people still, But the fact that maybe you're touching a photo booth or touching, even though you might have an attendant there, because they always ask me, will you have an attendant there? And I tell them it's optional. We have two types of photo booths. One that you have, it is an attendant will service it. And then there's one that is self-serve. So, you know, you touch, which is the like an iPad. So then they have that decision of what they want based on their budget. Because then if you have an attendant and you're risking yourself and going out there or your attendant, you want to make sure that they're taken care of and everybody else with sanitation and properly sanitizing everything before. And then there's some clients that do want props and some clients that don't want props. We typically get the PVC pipe props like that. They're just easy to clean. And we lay maybe six or seven based on the theme as well. So we still try to make that fun for them. We try to avoid props that you put on your eyes, your neck, hats, anything that they could put in their mouth, because they love doing that.
Yeah, they don't even realize that they are putting the sunglasses in their mouth or that they're doing that. And then you're like, well, can't use that.
We have a gigantic rose that we bought at Hobby Lobby. It's this big. And they love putting it in their mouths. We always clean it and stuff, but it's just weird. I mean, once you have maybe five drinks in your system, you don't care.
No, they don't care, yeah.
You don't care what's going on.
Exactly.
Some clients prefer it. Some clients don't want it. But we're trying to be very safe in that. At the beginning, we said no props. But then we're just like, well, maybe that defeats the experience of, you know, a photo booth because you want all those things, you know? But
yeah.
I ended up just letting them saying, hey, it's your decision, your call. Do you want them?
Yeah.
You tell me. I mean, at the end, they're already there touching a million things. So I'm like, some props, I mean, with meditation, I don't know what's going to go wrong. What can happen?
Tell me, like, are people wearing masks? Like, what are you noticing? What's the trend? And are these events that you've gone to work or that your attendants have gone to work, is it like 25% of what would have been there of the crowd, or what are you seeing as far as that goes?
I feel from what I've seen from the crowds, sometimes they expect more people to go because majority of the, like I said, I haven't done so many weddings, but the times that I've been there, it's because we had a photo booth, because typically a flower wall set up in the morning and then picked up that night. So we're kind of fortunate with that. We don't have to be there all the time. But the maybe two or three times of the month that we have to be there with a photo booth, I do see it is the tables are 6 feet apart from each other. Some people start coming in with their mask and then they don't have their mask. You would think that the more elderly would have masks, but they really are the ones that don't care.
Wow,
they're just like, they're ready to party. Yeah. So they're really the ones that don't have masks. There's weddings that I've been to where it's like, man, this is 150 guests count.
At wow. least.
Yeah. But still all separated and everything. But what I see is that the venues have signs everywhere. They have their masks, they have their sanitation. So it's ultimately up to you how you want to be, you know, how much precaution you want to take. I mean, in the end, you're around the table with other people there, like I said. So you want to take those safety precautions as a venue, because up to them, like, they can't be asking everybody, hey, put your mask on, put your mask, you know, because and I know it's a celebration. And like I said, after you have that open bar and there's three, four drinks flowing, like,
yeah,
my mask and everybody's in the dance floor.
Yeah,
we had a big wedding this weekend at the Adolphus Hotel. So it's one of the nicest hotels here in Dallas. And I saw they had the Fletcher, even corn dog outside. I mean, they went all
out.
Yeah, they went all, that wedding was, they paid a lot of money for that wedding.
Did you get a corn dog?
I wasn't, yeah, eventually, unfortunately, I wasn't there, but the bride followed my social media, and I follow her, and it showed, like they tagged us, so that's why I was looking at the board.
Nice.
They tagged us on the wall and the neon sign. So I was like, man, like, this was a big wedding and everybody was on the dance floor because I saw the DJ and everything. But like I said, it really depends. From what I'm seeing, I do see a younger crowd, like in the, from 30s to 45s, you know, attending the weddings. You do have like the older, which is like the mom, the aunt, and mm-hmm. the parents. But from what I see is typically a younger crowd attending these weddings. But like I said, from what I see, the venues are taking their safety precautions from the state. And mm-hmm. It's up to them if they want to follow it, but they're doing their job, I think, very well.
Nice. And then tell me, are you sanitizing your props like in between each use, like in between each person that touches them?
So we have a sanitation bottle, and when they grab their props, they sanitize it. They sanitize their hands. Use it and then sanitize it again.
Okay.
And the next person also sanitize it. So, but then at the end, like I said, you can't be like asking everybody to sanitize unless you're there with a pump, like pushing mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that some people won't touch the props and they'll just, you know, take pictures with their family members, mm-hmm. Not 6 feet apart. Just so that's what I'm saying. It's really hard to say I'm gonna do this, but I'm not gonna do that because in the end, you're already in that bubble.
Definitely. Yeah. It sounds like you're just having to play case by case. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think it's smart for you to just kind of ask the customer up front, do you want props? Do you not want props? And then just kind of gauge how comfortable they are with the props, or if they're asking, is your attendant going to wear a mask? Things like that. Then, you know, okay, they're very cautious. They really want to follow the rules. So then you probably communicate that to your attendant, I'm sure. Yeah.
And with talking about the mask, like every venue that I've been to, all the employees have their mask, all the staff, the waiters, the photographers, the DJ, everybody has mm-hmm. mask. We have our mask as well. The only ones is like their guests. I would say maybe 95% won't have, like at the beginning, maybe 50-50. At the end, I would see 10% only with their mask on. So, you know, it triples everywhere.
Yeah, I think we'll just have to see how the trends continue as we go into the holiday season. What are you anticipating? Like from your perspective, what are you anticipating for the holiday season? Obviously, December is typically a month where, I mean, during our busiest season, we would have like 25 booths out on a weekend.
Yeah. So. You know, as we are seeing kind of like it's a roller coaster. Last month was one of a really good month. This month, you think of it, well, it's because people are on vacation and back to school and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, I mean, trends that we already knew.
Yes.
But we just don't know. I mean, are people vacationing? People are not going to school? So why are not we getting calls? So those are things in which we're still asking ourselves, you know, what should we expect now? We are expecting a successful December. I really think, you know, if people are going to celebrate, like I said, they're going to be making them wear their mask. Taking their pictures and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be, you know, 10 booths, 15 booths during the weekend, maybe one for their corporate events. But I definitely believe that they still want to celebrate their employees. They still want to, you know, give them something.
It boosts them morale, right? Like after such a year like this, I mean, us as employers, we also think, okay, how can we boost the morale, you know? Mm-hmm. Even if we are working virtually, we try to have meetings weekly, sometimes even daily, to try to keep communication going. So I think you're right. People are still going to maybe have these corporate parties, but maybe downsized.
Yeah. Smaller scale or in time slots. I would say time slots, like, you know, slot one, slot two, slot three, and these are our time frames. But I definitely believe that it won't be as busy as our previous years, but there will be a few people that will be reaching out and saying, you know, that have their holiday party. Now, what we haven't been seeing lately is people asking for those holiday parties. Typically, right now, the leads should already be coming in. Because they typically books the corporate events from January to September. Because then October, November, December is just it's just uphill trying to catch up with all the events.
Yeah. And what happens is they start so early because some people even start even earlier than now because they know it's like a race, right? Because they know, again, this is another great example, how there's just so much business out there, not enough photo booths. They know that they have to book a photo booth before they all get booked up, you know, or at least like the companies that are reputable that have experience and reviews, they know, okay, these are the most sought after. So I need to make sure to book something 8 months in advance, 9 months in advance.
Yeah, so. Because what the first thing a company is going to do is look at the first page of Google and try to track someone down. And then once that page is done, then they're going to go to other pages and then maybe ask, you know, other resources for a photo booth. But typically they'll always will go down the first page and book. And like you said, I mean, if that company only has three or four photo booths and that's it for that day. So the companies try to book something in advance because they know that the hotel is going to be gone, especially on that day. Yep. I mean, DJ, food and stuff, you know, that's something that they always have in-house, but especially those prime things that they always look for, photo booths, DJ, lights, decorations.
Yeah. Do you mind talking a little bit about your staff? And like, I'm sure you had to downsize, and I'm sure some of them maybe found something else to do meanwhile things pick back up. But how did COVID affect your employees and your staff?
So we had a staff, like we had seven employees. One was full time and the rest were part time. I'm fortunate enough that all my employees already had a job. So as a part time, they're not solely relying on me to bring all the extra, like their food and the table is extra money for them, for trips and cars and purses. So I was like, it's one of those things. It's kind of gratifying as well, because I can't imagine someone just saying, I depend on you and I need a check of X amount of money because you're my employer.
Yes.
So we definitely downsized on that. We did, I did lose employees because of it. And not because they wanted to leave. It was just because either school, I had people in school, I had people with a second job, and it would interfere with what we have going on, because now the setups are a little bit earlier versus more evening because people have that extra time. So we did lose employees. I lost one of my best employees, my assistant, and she had to leave because she graduated and then needed to go to Houston with her family because of the quarantine. And then her family's like, just stay here. What's the point of going back? So one of those things in which you never get attached to your employees as much as there's these.
That's tough.
Yeah. As much as we interact every single day and we're still good friends and everything now. But it is tough. It is tough to let go of people. And in the end right now, who's working is myself and two other employees. So, and that's part-time. So they're on part-time and on full-time at the moment. And that's kind of how it's going, and playing out.
Yeah.
Something else as well. Was that it?
I was just curious to hear how that affected, you know, the staff and how it, you know, I figured you had to downsize, or that some of them weren't, you know, didn't have a job, you know, with you, but like you said, their employment was more part-time as needed and not necessarily a full-time gig, so it does take a little bit of the pressure off of you. So I'm kind of like, I understand that. And it just kind of comes down to, well, did you say previously your brother works for you? He helps you out?
So right now it's myself, my brother, and then just one of the employees here that we have.
Okay.
And the rest, like I said, they have their full-time jobs. So they're always like, hey, Brian, whenever you need me, just let me know.
Okay.
Like, they're ready to go at any time. And they actually know how slow we are
in
the areas of when it comes down to photo booths and rentals. On the other side, I'm like, well, I could manage the flower warts, just picking it up and taking it, putting it inside. I'm sure we're going to get busy again pretty soon. So I believe that eventually we'll be up there again.
Yeah. I think what you said, what I keep thinking about is that you said you're doing a lot of engagement flower walls. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, you know, that's a great sign because that shows people are going to get married next year, you know. And I personally know several people who were supposed to have their wedding this year, mm-hmm. and they had to postpone. Some of them postponed twice. Some of them said, you know, maybe I'm still going to have a wedding, but it's going to be really small, like just the family. And then when we can have a big party, then we'll have a big party. So like you said, people are antsy to get back out there and have fun with their friends and just enjoy the good old days, you know, that phrase. I wish you knew you were in the good old days when you're in the good old days, that sort of thing. So people are just antsy. People are ready. And that gives me a lot of hope. And I think for any of you listening to this podcast, I know the majority of our listeners are photo booth owners. So just have, you know, a little bit of patience and a little bit of hope, I think, and just hang in there. I think it's going to come back. It's just a matter of these COVID numbers are going down is what I last read. So that's a great sign. And I think as long as you're being smart and kind of taking precautions, just like Brian mentioned, then you should be okay. And maybe consider other options to add on to your photo booth services, just like Brian has, because as you just said, Brian, I mean, thanks to the flower walls, you've still been able to make some money and kind of keep your business going. And that was one of the ways that you were able to kind of pivot. But you were luckily already doing that. It's not like you had to invest the money during this time and then try to start that flower wall business. So
right.
I mean, that's a good example of where sometimes we put all of our eggs in one basket. And maybe that's not the wisest thing.
And I've seen that like with bigger, I consider myself not like a big company, but I do consider myself at a larger scale within, you know, two major cities. So I know some are in multiple states, just large corporate. And I can't imagine how it affected them, because if they're doing events for Verizon, AT&T, you know, there's no events of those kind of playing out right now, and who knows until next year. So have that type of scale, and you're like, oh, weddings are not for me. Oh, birthday parties. Then for me, I accept everywhere. If it's the largest, which we've done for eight, American Airlines to birthday houses, you know, a birthday event. So never limit yourself of who is your market, because in the end, when it comes down to these things, I mean, how comfortable are you going to be charging X amount of money versus how much you were making before?
Definitely.
So then you're not used to, or all your platform on social media or your website just shows mega events and not, you know, smaller scale events. So they're not going to go with you, versus being a little bit more diverse, showing that you do from A to Z. On any type of event, you could capture more.
Exactly. That's what we did. We just had different kind of like pages within our website. There was a corporate, and then there was a whole wedding tab. And that way, depending on the type of customer that's coming to our site, they can see how we can cater to them specifically. And they kind of envision, okay, like, yeah, that would look great for my AT&T corporate event, branded, you know, step and repeat, and, you know, branded everything. Companies love branding. And then of course, weddings, it's like, okay, oh, wow, they can put my engagement photo on the printout. That's so cute, you know? So kind of thinking about the different types of groups of traffic that are coming to your website is definitely important. So obviously you've probably had a little bit more free time during this whole situation. So how have you used that free time to your advantage? Like, is there anything that you've, anything new that you've started to do on the back end of your business?
I would say, yes. I mean, there was always that one and desire to scale my business, which was with a social production and DFW. A lot of people have asked us with DFW, even now, like, do you franchise or do you sell walls? And it was never for me something that I wanted to, like, the company even actually grow, because it was, for me, that's not really, I'm not passionate about it, because it's just, for me, it's just a wall in which you just build and you set up and you leave. My passion has always been more of the creative side with the photo booths and people having fun. And, you know, that's always been my thing. But like I said, with that, I just found that opportunity and just ran with it. And I do my own SEO for my company. So then I was able to rank both of the companies on the first page.
Nice.
And I've always, in my back of my head, I was like, I want to do it for other companies. But then you need a record of it. You need, you know,
proof,
a report to say, yeah, I could do it, not just with me. So I reached out to close people who actually I know, not in the same industry, but in other industries. And I picked up two clients recently. So that's something in which, I'm like, if I pick up 10, then I'm set.
Yeah, no. There you go.
Yeah. Then, but it's one of those things that you kind of want to use the resources that you already have or know, mm-hmm, and just expand those. Like I said, I expanded with the flower wall because I had that resource and people were still looking and wanted it. And so I invested in that. And mm-hmm, now right now it's the SEO. People want to be found but can't be found and don't know what SEO means and how can they get leads, how can they get clients. But they have no idea of where to start. So that's something in which I created a new website on there. I started a website. So I'm implementing myself and trying to adapt myself, even like, okay, I do have these web businesses, but I also want to grow this one. And mm-hmm, how should I grow it? How should I reach out to people? So I'm in the works in that. But it's fun, and it's kind of one of those things that you're just like, oh man, like, I would never have done this if these two things would never, you know, if definitely they were failed, if these, yeah, two things were failed, or, you know, because of the economy. So definitely there's new opportunities. So with that, you know, I have built a new website for the SEO company. I am adding like a franchisee and a gift card tab with the social production, and also with DFW Flower Wall. Mm. So we are wanting to expand a little bit more. I'm trying to read more books on franchising companies and how does someone start implementing that on their business, because it is a lot of work and it is a lot of structure and operations that you need. But I'm reading a book about, it's called, what is it called? Lost my track. Just tasks that we do every single day and how just the smallest, sometimes we want, like, the biggest success always comes from the smallest things that we do every single day. Definitely. So by just doing those small things and implementing those small things, even if it's 1%, I was reading 36. I think it said 36% better the next year versus not doing anything every day. You're at negative. You're at zero. So, yeah, exactly. So it was one of those things in which, even though we're not seeing, maybe you're not seeing a lot of growth or where we were before and how we are now, I think just adding that small things to your website, mm-hmm, to something that you've already been working on, to a business plan, I think starting that makes a big difference, because it doesn't, and you know, right now maybe everybody's tunnel vision and everybody doesn't see the light out of this. Mm-hmm. And it could be days. I have days like that as well, but then once I'm like, okay, I need to do this, this, and this, and why haven't I put this off? And okay, I need to start working on it again. So having those small projects and having those small things, I think gives you a boost of morale to say, okay, like, we are going to see the tunnel and we're going to see the light at the end.
Yeah. We're happiest when we're working towards a goal. That's what I've learned. And when we feel like we've kind of stalled, that's when we kind of start to feel a bit sad or depressed or like we feel useless. Mm-hmm. So I think what you just shared there is vital for anyone that's listening that hasn't really done much. They're like kind of waiting for this coronavirus to pass. Like, try something, you know, anything that's ever sparked your interest, now's the time to kind of explore it and just see what happens, and you just never know. So that's great, Brian. I'm proud of you for kind of chasing your SEO customer base and starting another little company there, because you never know what can happen.
Yeah, we just never know. I mean, when I started the social production, I was like, it's going to be small, even with a firewall, it's going to be small. And then once we knew it, I mean, we're doing over 400 events a year. So it is one of those things in which we just never know the small things, what they'll scale up to. It's just starting something small and just building from there, and just not giving up on that small project you have going on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed our conversation today. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to find lots of great value. We've been getting that question a lot. It's like, how are people dealing with events during COVID? So thank you for answering those questions. And can you tell us where people can find you?
Yeah, they could find me at the Brian Delgado on Instagram. And my social media for my business page is thesocialproduction@gmail.com. So awesome. Either or, they could find me. And I'll be able to answer any question that they might have.
Well, there you go, guys. So make sure to add him on Instagram. And, you know, if you guys are inspired and start something else, make sure to tag him. Let him know that he inspired you. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and wrap up for today. So I hope you guys found something useful or entertaining from this episode. And we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye. Take care.
Bye.